Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 190. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for being here. So we have 10 more episodes. That's pretty unbelievable till we get to 200. If you guys have ideas or suggestions on what we should do, let us know. We're trying to think of some fun ideas to do to celebrate 200 podcasts. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. I just can't believe when I started this a while back, about 5 years ago, that we would be here right now. And it's just an incredible feeling, you know, and I love how many people we've helped, and it's amazing. And we're still growing. We're getting better, improving a lot of things. We're working really, really hard on improving the website, everything about the website, not just the membership area, but the public content as well, right? The searchable areas and things like that, what we're producing, what we're releasing as far as the free education that we give out, you know. So we have our podcast, clearly, which is lessons, and we have our Lick of the Week, which is really great for people to look at, and we study a new artist every single week. And we also have transcriptions and blog. And it's awesome. You know, it's just so great. Sorry if I sound a little stuffed up right now. My allergies are just killing me right now. And it's just really bad. It always gets super, super bad in the springtime. But it's been super windy here. So just blowing pollen everywhere. But yeah, so, and I've been working so much on redoing the website and improving features. I haven't done many personal podcasts lately, but I'm going to be doing more. Sterling and Trent have been helping out a lot, which is really awesome. They're such great educators. So it's been really, really fun. And this particular episode is really awesome. And Sterling's talking about voicings and going deeper into more advanced voicings, fourth voicings, you know, more McCoy Tyner style voicings. And chordal sounds like that, and just a lot of cluster voicings, which are really, really cool. And a lot of these things are going to be more modern than he's going to be talking about now, as opposed to what he was talking about last week, which is more basic. But this stuff's really, really great. It's awesome to get these under your hands. So hope you guys are all staying safe out there and being good. And again, we're going to be opening Jazz Piano School for the public, to the public, with our new improved features and updates probably end of May, hopefully, or possibly mid-June. So it kind of just depends on a couple things right now. But we are trying to open that as quickly as possible, because all of us have so much time, you know, because of COVID and everything like that going on. And so what better way to just spend your time by practicing jazz piano, right? And this is the exact reason, I mean, that we have music in our lives, right? When things are going to crap and the world around us is just seems super chaotic, dismal, and just, you know, depressing. It's like, well, man, we got music, like play music. And so many artists are giving concerts. And even when you're in the home, you know, your own house, you can play for yourself. You can work on music, and it's inspiring. It's motivating. It helps your soul stay healthy, right? It helps your mind stay healthy. And that's why this is so important. And I truly believe in our mission here at Jazz Piano School to spread jazz piano school. I say jazz piano school so much, it just comes out. To spread jazz piano education, structured and organized jazz piano education, so people can experience the benefits of learning, right, in an organized and structured manner, so that way they're experiencing quick and efficient results that actually last and stick. You know, whereas my history, I was prone to jumping around a lot, which still happens, in my opinion. And, you know, going from educator, different teacher to teacher, video to video, you know, course to course. I bought a lot of courses, trust me. And, you know, the reason I kept buying courses is because they never tied together. And that's the difference between Jazz Piano School, is that I've created a one main curriculum, a success path. And my whole philosophy and system is tied into an approach, a structured approach that actually all ties together. It's one big Disneyland that kind of all comes together cumulatively to teach you jazz piano in an effective manner. So you guys have all heard that before, but just want to say that again. Now, I'm going to go into the episode because I need to get a tissue, as you could probably hear. Definitely need to blow my nose. I'm not going to, make you guys suffer through this listening. I hate when I'm listening to podcasts and the person is clearly struggling. Like, okay, this person is struggling, you know? I don't really edit the podcasts. I like doing them raw, but you hear a lot of podcasts are super edited, right? So they take out all the ums, they take out all the hiccups, the sneezes, you know, everything, like the runny noses, right? Nah, I always give it to you guys raw. We don't edit any of my talking. It's just completely straight through. What you guys hear, you know, is what you're getting. This is me. This is just raw Brendan. I'm sitting at my my workstation here just talking away. So yeah, with that being said, okay, let's dive right into this episode from Sterling. Here we go.
What's up, everybody? This is Sterling Koza here for jazzpianoschool.com. This week's podcast is a continuation of the Mastering the Left Hand series. And I figured I'd come back with some more tips and tricks that you can use to widen your ensemble of left hand voicings. Now, last week we talked about some voicings used by Brad Meldow and Keith Jarrett. And this week I figured I'd show you some voicings used by some other pianists. We're going to start with McCoy Tyner. Now, McCoy Tyner was known, for those of you that don't know him, he was known for his tenure in John Coltrane's quartet and his signature fourth voicing style. Now, McCoy even had an album entitled Reaching Fourth. That was how interested he was in exploring these fourth voicings. So we're going to start with these voicings within the context of a blues in the key of C. Now, our voicings are going to start on the root of C, and we're going to build two fourths on top of one another. So that's C, F, and B flat. And one thing McCoy would do quite often is pair this voicing with another of the same voicing up a whole step. So starting on D, we've got D, G, and C. So those two together look like. And McCoy would often lay down a root and a fifth in his left hand. Now that's getting to sound more like that McCoy Tyner style. Now when we get to that four chord, the key of F, we're going to start on F, build a fourth B flat and E flat on top. If we go up a whole step, starting on G, we've got G, C, and F. So those two together. And then for the blues form, we go back to the one chord. Now for this blues, we're going to use a turnaround, sort of like the tune All Blues, going to a five chord, and then to a flat six, and back to five. So taking a closer look at these voicings, we've got our five chord G. We're starting on G, C, and F. Then up a whole step, A, D, G. All right, so those two together. We go up a half step to A flat, D flat, G flat. Up a whole step, B flat, E flat, A flat. Notice we've got all black keys now. And then back down to G. And then that takes us back to C. So that's what a chorus of these fourth left-hand voicings might look like in the style of McCoy Tyner. Now here's some improvisation using these voicings as an accompaniment. Thank you. All right. So you might notice that I was using some pentatonic vocabulary in that right-hand improvisation. And I often find that what I play in my left hand influences what I play in the right. And you'd hear in McCoy Tyner's improvisation, he does a lot of pentatonic shapes as well. Evidently, the pentatonic scale is actually built in fourths. It's built based on fourth intervals if you explore it a little deeper. Now, if you're looking for some tips on how to improvise using those types of scales, we've got a podcast for that, so feel free to dig back into the archives. And if you find some right-hand improvisation you like, then you can go to combine it with this podcast with some left-hand fourth voicings in the style of McCoy. All right, so we're going to move on to another pianist, and that next pianist is Bill Evans. Now, Bill Evans liked to use a type of cluster voicings in his left hand. You can hear this approach on the album Kind of Blue. And so this voicing is going to look like this. This might sound familiar off of that Kind of Blue record. Also, you know, other common records like Portrait in Jazz. Bill Evans definitely likes this voicing, especially over minor chords. But for now, we've got it over a blues. And just as in our fourth voicing, we omitted the third. You'll notice this fourth voicing doesn't include any third in it in the key of C. This voicing that Bill Evans uses also omits the third. If we look a little more closely, we've got the 13, the 7, and the 9. In the key of C, that's A, B flat, and D. Now, just as we paired those two voicings in the fourths category, a whole step apart, we can move this voicing up a whole step. That would become the major 7, root, and third of C, also known as B, C, and E natural. Now, those two together. Now, let's move up to the four chord. In the key of F, we've got, again, the 13, 7th, and 9th. Those are D, E flat, and G. And if we move up a whole step, we've got E, F, and A. And then back to C. And then for our five chord, we've got E, F natural, and A. Up a whole step to F sharp, G, and B. Up a half step, our flat six, A flat chord. We've got F, G flat, and B flat. Up a whole step to G, A flat, and C. And back to our five chord. Back to one. All right, so we've got some interesting shapes there. If you want to follow along with these voicings, feel free to check out the podcast practice materials where we've got all of the voicings in detail notated for your convenience, and might be a little easier to follow along. Now, for now, I'll play some improvisation using these type of Bill Evans cluster voicings. I find that when I'm playing those cluster voicings, I definitely take a different approach, more of a modal sort of impressionist approach than kind of the harder pentatonic approach of the fourth voicings. And when we listen to Bill Evans on that album, Kind of Blue, he's definitely taking more of that modal impressionistic stance in that album in particular. And again, it's just an example of how our left-hand voicings can influence what we play in the right, and vice versa. So I'd like to leave you guys with one more strategy of ways that you can come up with some more creative voicings using these structures. We talked about fourth voicings a whole step apart, and cluster voicings, alternating between those same whole step interval. But you can also translate these voicings through a mode. Now, if we're in C major blues with a flat 7, we can use Mixolydian. All that is major with a flat 7. And if we keep going with these shapes, we got another fourth voicing. That's an interesting one. And then back. So these fourth voicings can come in handy. You can also find some interesting shapes like this one, a fourth and a tritone on top. And this one, a tritone with a fourth on top, also known as sort of a C13 shape. But it can be fun to translate these through the key. What if we wanted some minor shapes? We could use a Dorian mode. That's the same thing, but with a minor third. This is a 13th shape, but this time in a minor mode. And these fourth voicings here, McCoy would use these pretty frequently if he was playing a minor blues. Right? We can even get more creative and use some alternative modes, such as C Phrygian. Those can be fun to explore in your left hand and then throw some right hand lines on top. Well, I hope you guys got some interesting ideas of ways you could kind of spice up your left hand. We looked at some pianists such as McCoy Tyner and Bill Evans using fourths and clusters in today's podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to leave them down below. And we're always open to suggestions of new ideas for podcasts that we can make if you have any sort of requests. So feel free to throw those out. All right. Well, thanks for joining us this time, and we'll see you next week.